Hello, you're listening to Laser Graves, a podcast where we dig up movies, music, books, and events from the 80s and discuss how rad they were.
Hello and welcome to Laser Graves. My name is Mariah Rose Wimmer. I am the new introducer of Laser Graves.
It sounds like an NPR episode.
Today we'll be talking about facts.
Cat talk. Okay, well, welcome to Laser Graves. And that was Mariah introducing an episode. It took 27 episodes. Maybe you've introduced one before and it was probably equally as compelling as that one.
Awkward's my style. If you don't like it, get out.
Okay.
Go somewhere else to a less awkward person.
Okay. Well, everybody, thanks for coming back.
Hi.
Thanks for listening last week. What do we do? Monkey Shines.
Mm-hmm. Our biggest episode ever. Everybody loved it. We got loads of letters about how much everybody loves Monkey Shines.
Oh, you know what I thought we were going to get? Were letters of people hating on us for dissing on Monkey Shines.
Really?
Because, well, there's this problem with legendary directors doing mediocre films. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows it, but you're not allowed to say it. You can't say it out loud.
Talk about it.
I thought about it, though, after our episode, because we were pretty honest about it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a misconception with that last episode. I did not dislike Monkey Shines by any means. It was just not the most, like, amazing film I had ever seen.
I feel...
I still like the film a lot.
I feel 100% neutral. But I will say, I do not feel neutral about tonight's film.
Whoa. No, this is incredible.
Is it the best movie ever made? Maybe.
Quite possibly.
I'm not going to say no.
This is instant introduction into, like, our canon of amazing films.
Yeah.
Like the short list for sure. If we had a short list, which ones would be on your short list, do you think? Like quintessential.
Motel Hell.
Yeah, Motel Hell for sure. Night of the Creeps.
Yeah.
There's a few. I guess they would be really boring to list them all right now.
Yeah, I feel like all we need to say is Motel Hell.
But I'm going to put this one.
Why haven't we covered Motel Hell?
There's a few I'm kind of like...
Oh, you're holding back?
Let's build up the audience before we start dumping the real goods. Like, we haven't done Trick or Treat. We haven't done Motel Hell. We haven't done... Well, for covering horror movies quite a few times on this, we haven't done any Fridays, any Nightmare on Elm Street, any Child Plays, any Phantom... We haven't done anything that's, like, normal.
Mm-hmm.
But this week...
Well, we didn't want to cover horror again.
No.
And we're both working on books to cover in the future, but haven't finished our books yet.
This one isn't horror. However, it's probably the most... It's got the... Easily, not probably. Hands down, the highest kill count of any movie I think I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. I mean, maybe with the exception of, like, a war movie.
Yeah, or like a... Yeah, like a post-apocalyptic...
Like Schindler's List yeah. or something.
But, like, actual deaths... Like, on screen?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe a zombie film, but I don't think so.
I don't know, because that one kill has over... I think it had 36 or
33. 33, yeah. Okay.
Yep.
We'll get to it,
because okay.
we're both, like, very
and
excited.
Honestly, I don't even know the name of this movie that we watched.
Okay.
I did stay awake, though. It's called Alien Something or Other on my notes.
Alien Space Avenger.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's real stupid.
No, it's real amazing. You definitely stayed awake, which made me happy because this was cinematic beauty.
It was. But before we get into that, tell us, Eric, what was your thrift store find of the week?
I had a few. Actually, and I also had it's not a thrift store find. Well, I guess kind of, I took some finds that I had at a thrift store and traded with a person to get some new films, mm-hmm. and I got a couple really cool ones that I've been after. Creepshow Part 2, which I've never seen. I don't think you have either. That'll be cool.
I feel like I wouldn't remember if I had.
And then The Hills Have Eyes Part 2. Definitely not seen that.
You should put out a call for a freak show. I watched it when I was in high school and haven't seen it since.
I'll look into it. Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen it.
You haven't, because I've been trying to show it to you, because it was at a Blockbuster or whatever it was near that Walmart in Alamogordo, the old Walmart. You know how there was like a movie store next to it?
Yeah, that wasn't a Blockbuster. What was it? Well, it was just like a little movie palace kind of thing. It was an independent one. That was the only place I've ever been. Speaking of that movie place, mm-hmm. the only place I've ever been in my entire life that had a copy of Eraserhead to rent on the shelf.
Yeah, they did.
And that's the first time I ever saw Eraserhead because it was for a birthday party of mine. And a friend said, let's get a movie to watch for the birthday party. Because we were having a bunch of friends coming over. We were all going to like drink and hang out because my parents were out of town. So we were doing this thing.
This was before I knew you.
It was right before because I was probably like 15 maybe. And
well, we knew each other, but we didn't hang out.
Yeah. And my friend and I went to that video store and we were looking for a movie mm-hmm. to get because a bunch of people were about to come over to my house. And he said, have you ever seen Eraserhead? And I said, no. And that was the moment. That was the... easily changed my life with what I thought movies could be and then what they actually could be. And so, yeah, it was that video store. Interesting.
Yes.
Well, that was a tangent. Sorry.
No.
Didn't mean to get off on
it's
that.
It's good.
Besides that, though, I also found two others. I found the remake of Willard with Crispin Glover. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then just today was the big one. And it is not an expensive film nor a good film. But I'm very happy about it because I've never found it. Masters of the Universe with Dolph Lundgren.
Oh.
So I was thinking family movie night, but I found out that we were not doing family movie night. We were doing family YouTube night, mm-hmm. which ended up still showing Masters of the Universe because our girls are obsessed with that.
Oh, yeah.
Edit of He-Man cartoon to the Four Non Blondes song. I said, hey, or whatever that song's called.
They love it. It came on the radio, not the He-Man version, today while we were driving, just like Four Non Blondes, but it had been remixed by some DJ. And they were like, what's wrong with the song, Mom?
They only know the YouTube version.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Anyway, so that's what I found. We'll cover a few of those on future podcasts. What did you find?
Oh, thrift stores? Watch out. I got one thing at a thrift store this week.
Ooh, and?
Horse sweatpants.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know where we're at in our timeline of recording, but I'm buying horse sweatpants for a rescue that I am volunteering at because there's a horse who is wounded and he has to wear sweatpants over his wounds. And so I keep picking up 2XL sweatpants for a horse.
Oh, I saw a photo of that horse wearing sweatpants and it was adorable.
He's so cute. And now he's bucking. So he's like bucking in like sweatpants that probably belong to some really large man named like Gus who only wore them while he like, you know, watched TV and pulled him down by his ankles while he pooped.
He probably was like a linebacker in high school named Gus the Bus.
Oh, and now he's dead and that's why his pants are in a thrift store.
Gus
and
is no longer with us.
On a horse.
So let's get into this episode. Oh, you ready?
Careful segue there.
Yep.
Very delicately done.
Because I am so freaking excited about tonight's.
Yeah, it was hard to watch this and not discuss it.
I felt like we had another episode that we watched a movie for that we hadn't seen that we were like pleasantly surprised by.
It was the one with the like...
Oh, Sorceress.
Twins, yeah.
Yeah, Sorceress. That's very similar to this. When we watched it, from the moment it started, both of us were like, how have we never seen this movie? I did have somebody tell me who has seen this. Mm-hmm. You're going to love it because it's amazing. And so
who's
I thought,
seen it? Was it an online
person? Yeah, it was somebody online because they saw it like in a post when I got it. And they were like, dude, it's amazing. And so I didn't know what to expect.
Wrong.
But holy cow. This film is like... killer workout kind of amazing. Like it's there's one. Yeah, killer workout is hands down a staple.
Well,
in
that was
household.
Not a pleasant surprise, but definitely one that we knew well.
Well, but I mean like the level of amazing films.
Yeah. I get
this film is amazing.
It is
Alien Space Avenger. 1989, directed by Richard Haynes, who did, he had two movies right before this, two good ones, Splatter University and Class of Nuke 'Em High. So he was like, he was the veteran on the block, because everybody else, this was pretty much their first film.
Obviously. I mean, obviously. I think that we can say that with great confidence, that there were no seasoned professionals around.
But yet they gave really great performances.
Stellar. Stellar. Interstellar. Oh.
Oh, well, okay. Speaking of which, it opens with triumphant marching music. And there is this Star Wars synopsis, like, the scrolling titles.
Kind of. It's like the poor man's version of Star Wars, even though I understand that the original Star Wars was made on a tight budget as well. This was an even tighter budget, clearly.
Yeah, it was basically giving us a little synopsis of where what we need to know is that some people have gone... like rogue, like they're
not
trying to be
people,
captured.
Aliens.
Or aliens, I mean.
Aliens escaped like a
prison.
A prison planet, and there's an agent chasing them.
Yeah.
But they seek refuge in the biosphere of Earth.
Earth in the 1930s.
Yes, but they play fast and loose with the 1930s.
Really? I mean, I'm not going to really even
look,
care about that.
We both have degrees in history, and this is the time to put them to use.
There's a scene coming up that we'll get to where one of the aliens is reading a comic book, and you said, look, it's not even like a real comic book. You can tell where they like piece it together for a film prop. Mm-hmm. And then I read in the mistakes or spoofs or whatever on IMDb that on the back page, you can see an ad for a video game from the 80s.
Yes. I love it.
Okay, Earth 1930s. There are two babes getting picked up for, like, a party.
There's, like, a main dude and his girlfriend, Rex and Doris.
Oh, you wrote down those names. Okay.
I don't have all the names. Because
I have some others, so I think between the two of us.
We'll piece it together.
We'll piece it, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so Rex and Doris meet up. They're, like, getting in Rex's car and go pick up another couple. What is it she says? He hops in the car with Doris, and she says, oh, no, it's their friends that they pick up. Mm-hmm. They pick up their friend Derek and whatever his girlfriend's name is. And she goes, what's with you, Derek? You look like you got to take a wee-wee or something. And that's kind of where you go, oh, this is the kind of movie we're watching.
Yeah, it's the dialogue is really fantastic. And this is an ensemble cast.
Yes.
The four of them stay together as a unit.
Oh, we get so much of this four.
To guide us through. So the credits roll for like 15 minutes.
The entire movie.
It's so funny, but I can tell they must be playing on that because you're watching the film and then every now and then it freeze frames with a credit like produced by.
Yep.
And then it goes back and it'll go for like another minute of film. Mm-hmm. And then it'll freeze frame and it'll be like, edited by. Mm-hmm. And it goes on and on.
We were laughing pretty hard about it after a while. So this foursome, they're in a 1930s, I'm using air quotes, vehicle. They're just kind of drinking and driving. I guess they're on their way to see a movie. And there's a whole lot of, like, they're shooting this in the daytime. It's shooting in the nighttime.
Yeah, once
they drive
stop.
From afternoon until, obviously, the middle of the night.
Yeah, well, the credits go, like, literally go from daytime to nighttime. And then one of them stops to go to the bathroom because they've been drinking in the in the car. And
so he
that's
gets out
when
to pee.
Every time it goes back to shoot, like the edit goes back towards the car sitting there in the forest, it's daytime. But then it'll immediately cut to them standing in the forest and it's nighttime and it goes back and forth so many times.
There are so many edits.
It's great. And the music is phenomenal. It's by Richard, I think Fioka is how you'd say it. I just wrote, he is killing it. And this is his first film, and he went all in. He went on to do, I was like, what did this guy do? Because he's clearly like a real composer. He went on to do tons of like mummy and alien mystery documentaries for like reality TV.
I believe this.
It's so cool.
It was like watching a little sampler platter of every musical genre ever made.
Yeah.
It was bonkers. I was laughing so hard. And I usually just kind of tune out the score, quite frankly, unless I make a special effort. But this was like, honestly, the score was the lead character in this movie.
It was a really good score.
It was a lot. So they pull over. They've been drinking and driving. And Derek, I think, gets out to pee. And then zip, overhead comes a spaceship. And Derek pees on his shoes as the spaceship crashes.
Yeah, it does.
And then the guys get up and they decide to go check it out. They're going to go see what it is.
Yeah.
And they go to find a spaceship, and they hear from some sort of sound from within. So Rex opens it, and then a tiny alien comes out, bleh, and crawls into his mouth.
Right. And can I just interrupt and say, up until this point, the credits were still
going. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was still going strong. Still going strong. I don't know when they ended, if they ever did.
So the boyfriend's now an alien, and he basically goes up to his girlfriend and feeds her to the aliens.
Yeah, they all end up eventually chowing down, like an alien dives into them.
Yeah, now they're all aliens. One of them says, "Welcome to the club."
Yep. Yeah, so they had to force Doris, everybody else sort of willingly approached the spaceship. "Welcome to the club. How does it feel inside your human host?" is what Rex says to Doris. So, okay, pretty clear. They've taken over the bodies of these humans.
Yes.
And then they head into town in search of jet fuel, obviously, because they've run out of fuel.
Is it jet plutonium?
They say jet fuel, and they also say plutonium.
Oh, right. Yeah, it changes throughout the course of the movie.
So they go to the movie theater for some reason.
It's because they're walking downtown as this foursome now, all dressed in 30s garb, and they see a poster for a Flash Gordon movie that has spaceships on it. Mm-hmm. And they're like, those are advanced technology. If that's what they're building, we're in trouble. Let's go in and see if we can find the, ships.
No, they were saying it in a negative way, like humans are so they weren't saying that Flash Gordon is advanced. They were saying like, oh, you're so far behind, but Flash Gordon is our sci-fi.
I got the opposite. Interesting. Okay.
Well, whatever. I don't think it matters one way or the other. So they are at the movie theater. They sit down to watch this movie. After the movies, they go to the VFW. Or something
kind of
like
bar,
that.
Yeah.
There was like a wartime, like that's what enticed them, was that there was some sort of veteran situation, because they figured people who had been to war would have weapons. So
they were right.
Yes.
There's just weapons all over the wall.
Yeah. So they go to the VFW to arm themselves. They find a bunch of drunk veterans, and they also have an exhibit, I guess, of like three guns on a wall.
It's so cool too, because the music is amazing. So here's what I wrote, because I don't know how to even explain
it.
I said the score perfectly captures space aliens and the 1930s. Somehow it is perfect. Like if you were to play me a song and you were to say, what does this make you think of? I would say the 1930s and Alien. This guy is incredible. I am all for this score. It's in polar opposite of Monkey Shines.
Yeah, there's like a drunk guy, and he grabs Doris, and he says, this is so horrible. He says, I was in the Navy. There ain't no seamen like old seamen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they all start screaming. We learn the aliens scream. They're like, bah!
The guy screams like, have you ever been to a friend's house who has like a 6-year-old boy that screams like a 3-year-old girl? You know those kinds of kids.
Well, I have two brothers, so yes.
That's how the male alien screams. And one of them like yells shoot out or something like that. And they all just start shooting everybody. And this is the first instance that we find out. This will be the reoccurring theme to the whole film, is that these aliens love shooting people.
They just go all in. So, they discover that apparently the VFW has loaded guns on their wall. So they shoot them all up.
Is there any...
No, that's exactly what
they would
do.
There was a story in the news recently where some kid got on a World War II Jeep that was at a some kind of parade and found a live grenade or something
of
like
that. Of course. Of course.
Anyway, so one of the aliens gets his arm blown off in this.
Oh, yeah.
And this is where I did not realize. I was already enjoying this film, but this is where I realized.
Special effects wizardry.
Holy shit. This was incredible. The arm reanimates, like it grows back and regenerates.
It's so good.
It is so good.
Yes. So after he regrows his arm, they've shot everybody up and they run. And as they're making their escape, they see a ship coming over, like another spaceship, and they think it's an agent who's hunting them down, I guess, since they're prison escapees. And then we travel 50 years into the future. It doesn't really offer an explanation of how they react, but apparently they scooted back to their little pod and hid in there for 50 years.
Yeah, they said we're going to wait until the time's right to basically do this.
Yeah, I had a lot of questions just about, like, elimination, but whatever.
I had an observation during this whole scene with the shootout and everything. The aliens, in particular the lead alien guy, he yells and screams and has like a major anger management issues. And I thought, I seriously cannot think of another alien movie I've ever seen in my life where an alien takes over a human host and just runs around screaming and bitching and yelling the whole time.
Yeah,
usually they're
like,
what? Hello.
And yeah, they're just neutral.
They're void of all emotion. This guy is like, come on! I said you're gonna go here! And he's just yelling the whole time. Ah! Screaming.
Yeah,
shooting,
true.
Punching. He is incredibly animated. He's like an angry drunk.
Yeah, very energetic with his anger.
I've never seen another alien movie like that before.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay, so 50 years flashback, which puts
forward,
which puts us at 1989.
So they're doing like a backhoe dig in the middle of the forest, and they find a buried ship and just start opening it. And out pop the 1930 people, and their guns are blazing. Apparently, they kept some ammo for the future.
Shoot every single person.
Mm-hmm.
It is so funny. I can't explain it. It's like a...
Wait. Although, aren't they alive later? All
who?
The people they shot?
No, I think that's a different crew.
Oh, okay.
But if it was, it wouldn't matter.
No.
It's so funny because it's like an Austin Powers movie.
Yeah.
Where they just shoot everybody and they just kind of like throw their arms up and fall over real fast. And then apparently these aliens know how to like use tractors too, because then they use the tractors to bury everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to blend in.
No,
they
problems
need to, they need to go somewhere where they can blend in.
Mm-hmm.
So they go to New York City.
They go to Greenwich Village.
They see a crack dealer.
Punch out a drug dealer who doesn't, because he doesn't have uranium.
Right.
They were looking. No, it was uranium during the punch out. Yes. Jet fuel, uranium, plutonium. All of it. That's what they want.
Okay.
And then we flash to an art studio where there's an artist and... I was like, is it his muse? Is it his girlfriend? Whatever. They're humping. And it is the most hilarious scene.
I love that he's like working to cover her like lower end.
Uh-huh.
And then you clearly see like at one point she's just got underwear on.
Mm-hmm.
And then it cuts immediately to a scene where she doesn't have underwear on. And then she rolls over and has underwear on.
Yes.
And it's like the night and day scene from earlier. It's really funny.
Lacks continuity for sure, but it's a really long, uncomfortably so sex scene that is in no way attractive. And then he's like, wait, 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 I've got a creative idea. And just kind of pushes her off.
Well, it's because he is the illustrator for a comic called Space Avenger.
Yes.
And her name is Jenny.
Yes,
and
it
she's
is.
Mad, and she wants to dump him because he focuses more on his art than on her.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So,
and he has a name too. What is it? I'm looking because I wrote it somewhere.
She runs out. His name's Matt.
Oh, okay.
So she runs out, and he runs out after her. We're supposed to, I guess, be under the illusion that he's naked when he runs out, because there is one scene where he's naked.
Yes.
But then he runs into the hall, and this neighbor lady opens up the door and looks at him.
And she's like looking at his junk.
But in the shot, you can see he has a towel. And he's like, what? And so this is when I realized with the underwear fiasco of the sex scene prior to and this, that the cinematographer does not understand, like, blocking a shot. And that I think that they thought this was all out of frame.
Yes.
Because it's all led to believe that he's naked, but he's wearing a towel in
the
scene.
The neighbor's making, like, crazy eyes at his business, and he's just wearing shorts.
But this was also the first feature film for the cinematographer, too.
Not a surprise. So they're, like, breaking up, I guess, but not really, like, Matt and Jenny, because he keeps blowing her off to work on his
art
or whatever.
Yep. And then we get to a New York scene where the four aliens are, one of them says, "This looks like a place we could find some weapons. Everyone spread out and start looking." And then they all stay together. It's really funny.
They do.
Because that's like the opposite of what he just asked him to do.
Yes. Oh, we do need to mention that Matt went to work right before this because his boss wants him to, like, up the ante. So he's working hard to come up with a new creative idea, which apparently plays into the storyline.
Yeah, he needs just something creative and original.
Yeah, so the boss told him to make a communist monster or something.
His boss says something really funny when he hands him his drawings. He doesn't even look at them. He just throws them in the garbage and he's like, "You didn't even look at them." But he says a word when he looks at it that I meant to write down. It's like tired or stale or something like
that. Stale, maybe.
It's really funny. I like that scene. But
yes.
Yeah. So then we flash to a club scene where the illustrator and his girlfriend are, like, trying to make up. And there are two bartenders that look like buff versions of Freddie Mercury in the 80s. They have white tight pants, mustaches, and muscle shirts.
Yeah, exactly.
And then at this club scene, the aliens walk in. And so they're all in one area. Also, a little fun fact about Jenny, the girlfriend, who is probably the worst actress in this whole movie.
Oh.
Really?
I mean, I think it's a three-way tie.
I loved the aliens. I thought they were hilarious.
They were, but they weren't good.
You know what Jenny went on to do right after this?
What?
Goodfellas. Like, a major movie.
Weird.
I don't know how somebody looked at this as her, like, first...
Maybe she just kept it, like, swept it under the rug. She looks kind of like a babier version... Not babier. More babelicious version of Juliette Lewis.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree.
So, yes, she's there. Everybody's at this club, and the aliens come in with really just generally bad attitudes because they want either jet fuel, plutonium, or uranium.
Or guns or weapons. They're looking for weapons, and that's what leads us to the next scene. So the illustrator sees them and immediately calls the whole plot. He's like, "Look at those people over there. They look like they're from the 30s. Wouldn't it be funny if they were aliens that crash landed and had to wait 50 years and now they're coming to, like, try and find out how to get home?" I'm like, okay, that was weird.
Yeah, he just intuited
really
the entire storyline.
But then the aliens end up finding themselves in the middle of a drug deal.
It's the next day. And so a bunch of cars come up, like Michael Jackson Bad Style. They're like, they're gonna have a feud, pull up next to each other. There's like briefcases and they're like all facing each other like, "We're gonna make this exchange," but something goes awry. The aliens are just kind of standing back observing and they all just shoot each other to
death. It's because they see the aliens spying and one of them goes, "You brought backup," or something like that, and so they all just shoot each other. And
they're all dead.
It's just piles of bodies at this point. And the aliens are like, "Thanks."
Like a second. So after the drug feud blowout or whatever it was, the aliens just like hop on over, grab their guns, and they're ready to get plutonium.
Yeah.
So the 1930s people have apparently taken a residency in some random basement, and this is a really important set because they all deliver their monologues from this basement set,
and they all get cabin fever in this basement set too.
Yeah, and Doris apparently wants to make it look nice, even though she's some genderless alien from another planet. She really wants to spruce up their basement. And they just scream at each other, like, especially Rex, the lead alien guy.
Dude, he yells constantly at everybody.
He's a real rude guy.
He's interesting. This film, now that the body count is going up,
mm-hmm.
and the reanimated, like, body parts and everything,
mm-hmm.
Here's my only gripe with this whole film, because I think this is probably one of the greatest films I've ever seen, is the cover sucks. It's so misleading. It's like a boring sky scene with like a translucent alien face.
Yeah.
It could have been this like amazing illustrated cover, you know, like the classic, you know, where you've painted the portraits of everybody in an action shot and mm-hmm. everything else. Could have been like a partially animated, you know, bloody corpse with people dying left and right. It could have had the most amazing cover. And I feel like for a movie of this caliber, they really dropped the ball with the cover.
They absolutely did. And it's unfortunate. Maybe you should make the cover.
I want to collaborate with one of those companies that reissues old movies and like work on the cover.
This is a gem and it is worth some investment and time and money to get it to the masses, I think.
Yes. Okay, so they need plutonium to refill their ship, and they realize that there's a plutonium plant down the road.
I'm sorry, but this is an important note. They're in their basement and watching the news to learn about the plutonium plant, and meanwhile, Rex has unwrapped a tampon and is using it to clean his gun.
Okay. Well, they know about a plutonium plant, and they've got a plan to go break in and steal it, which turns out to be a really good plan.
I don't even know if it's a plan so much as they're like, go now.
They really act quickly, and so the aliens break in. They stop two scientists that are, like, they pull up in a car. Two scientists walk out, and the one alien, the main one, Rex, goes, come quick, two guys were killed. And then the scientists go, who? And he goes, you. And then he shoots them.
Yep.
It's so funny. And then the other alien, as they're driving away because they took their clothes, says, adios. And I thought, wait, how do aliens... They've been in a capsule for 50 years, first off.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also fluent in Spanish.
Well, they're fluent in English. Who even knows?
Who knows? I don't know at this point. But
at another point, too, they're in the plant... like trying to steal the plutonium. They've killed a whole bunch of people and they have a hostage and they go, shut up, where's the plutonium?
So if I can, this is probably one of the best scenes in the whole movie, because they walk in and it's like a comedy. It's
to just shoot them all.
It's like somebody peeks out from a closet and says, hey, did you need some help? And they're like, yeah. And then just shoot them and they fall over.
Yes.
And then somebody like has headphones and turns around in a chair and they shoot them. And it just goes on and on mm-hmm. and on.
Oh, the best part, though, is when Rex, at one point, I guess a scientist is trying to reason with him and he goes, no lectures, and shoots
him.
Oh,
yeah, no lectures. I want to get a shirt that says no lectures. So I don't even know what the kill count was, but it was hilarious. And then on the news... they say mm-hmm. 33 people at this spot alone were killed. And I don't know if it's a stretch to say we saw all 33 kills.
Probably. It was a lot.
Incredible.
And also, as they're reporting on it, obviously they grabbed their jar of plutonium or whatever.
And they ran off.
And the artist watches the news report and he writes their story. Real quick, it's like he's got a very fast turnaround with his story writing or his comic book writing, because it goes like he has an idea, he somehow scribbles it down, delivers it to his boss, and it's in print the very next day.
Yes. And I also noticed that he dresses like Chandler from Friends.
Yeah.
He's got like the sweater vest kind of look, but
yeah.
So the alien, one of them is walking down the street. Basically the same day, it feels like, but it's supposedly the next
time
day.
Time is of no consequence in this movie.
Sees the comic depicting them, and he's like, what? Takes it back to their basement bunker hangout, and the aliens are not happy. They're like, wait, what's going on? Then we go back to Matt and his apartment. All I wrote here is there's a chewing scene that's really gross. He chews with his mouth open. It's disgusting.
No. He grabs an apple and he tosses it. And it brought an important question to my mind. What with the 1980s when people would grab an apple and toss it like a ball and then bite it. Have you ever done that?
I did that this morning.
No, you're lying. I gave you an apple today and you're lying.
I had an apple. I held it in my hands. I turned my hat around backwards and I said, "Hey, mister, you want to look at this apple?" And I just tossed it up a couple times like a baseball. And I said, "I'm a real Chicago Cub over
here."
And then I took a bite of
Where's it. Where's going?
So
he mixes also this apple with a pop.
Yeah.
Which is the grossest snack combo ever.
Well, so apparently they're going to try and stop this illustrator. One of the aliens is not doing so well. So the female alien gets really upset and is like, "I'm going to go do it myself." Goes over there, breaks into his apartment and beats him up. Do you remember that whole scene?
Yes, the Derek's girlfriend. So she's like the fourth most important of the four aliens.
Yeah, so she beats him up. And then we get this scene kind of flashing forward a little bit to Jenny, the girlfriend of the illustrator, walking down the street. And the alien that is maybe the like bounty hunter alien?
Yes.
But is not in a human host.
Is this the Avenger?
It's like the actual alien.
Yes, the agent who's hunting them down.
Yeah, crawls into her body and takes her over.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this walk through the park because she meets up with Matt, the illustrator.
Yeah, they go for a long romantic walk.
And there's a lot of overdubs where they're walking in the distance and then it's like, "Oh, Jenny, I'm so glad you came here."
Yes.
But it's like over the top of a shot of them walking in the distance.
Yep.
It's really funny.
It's wonderful. And then Derek, the alien, who's apparently acquired a drinking habit here, he comes up and he shoots Jenny. And the police shoot off the, like they see this go down and they shoot off the foot of Derek, the alien. But he's too drunk to regrow his foot. So he regrows a hand.
Where his foot is.
Yes, where his foot should be. And then the girlfriend at this point, Jenny, is exposed as the agent. So it's not really Jenny, and the artist realizes that. And then she just casually sets the alien on fire. She grabs a homeless man's booze, pours it on the alien, like drunk Derek, saturates him with booze, lights a match, and then he is like instantaneously fully burned, which...
That was cool.
I can't even imagine how nice that would be for a crematorium if humans burn that quickly.
Do you know that in Central Park in the 80s, nobody would notice a drunk alien?
No.
I mean,
in the 80s or now?
Well, sure. But just like an average person in Central Park.
Yeah. I think you would probably notice somebody with a hand foot, but maybe not.
Okay. So we get this plot development where the alien Jenny needs Matt to defeat the aliens.
Does she? I mean, she thinks she does, I guess. It's basically that they just discuss the whole plot of the movie in casual conversation.
Yeah, but she just lit that other one on fire.
Yeah, oh, she has some explaining to do.
Yeah. So she's like, "We'll get some guns." And there's a pizza place mafia.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they go to a pizza place and
obviously,
there's a mafia running like a guns dealership. They get those. And then the alien that's in the red, whichever one that was.
That's Rex. He's the leader.
No, the female one.
Oh, that's Doris.
Yeah, she gets really bored and she's like, I need out of here.
She's tired of it, even though they've got plutonium. I don't know what they're waiting for if they have their plutonium.
Yeah, good point.
Why do they not just go?
She's like, I need out of this basement prison and walks the streets of New York City. She walks by a movie theater and the on the marquee, the movie playing is called Vampire Hookers.
Oh.
And I really wanted to know if that was a real movie or not.
Well, and this is also the time where Doris decides she is going to become a sex worker. She's all right.
There's prostitutes like every 5 feet and she just stands on one corner.
And she keeps approaching men and saying, "Now let's make whoopee."
Yeah, let's make whoopee. Wanna make whoopee? And then she takes them. Apparently she knows her way around a random building, too.
Yeah, it's just... Well, it's like a brothel. It's like the Bunny Ranch or something. They just go inside and there's rooms where everybody is, we later learn. Mm-hmm. She just goes to an empty one, I guess.
But while this is happening, we cut back to Alien Jenny and then Matt. And they're now, like, in Rambo gear. They're, yeah. like, in full camouflage.
They're prepping to battle. But also, he's okay with her being part alien, and he's like, we should, you know.
He's really trying to hit on her.
Yeah. Whatever.
He's very horny, this. Maybe, you know what's funny, too, is, and I am guilty of this in the 80s.
What?
Where when I thought I was going to do something cool,
mm-hmm.
I would dress up in camouflage also. I'd be like, it's go time. It's game time. And I would put on, like, my camouflage pants.
I wish you still did
and
that.
And a headband.
We should get you some camo.
Yeah, I would wear them. And so they're all in camouflage. And then it cuts back to the alien prostituting
herself
out.
Hold on, hold on. Before you say anything further, there was an important piece of information that Alien Jenny shared when he hit on her. She says, we don't know. We have different body chemistries. We don't even know what would happen if we did that. Meaning, like, if they had sex, something yeah. might go awry. And then we go back to Doris with her
boy toy.
John. Mm-hmm. And she's there mid-coitus, and she's like, I'm really hot. And he bursts into flames.
Well, he just melts.
Yep.
It's really funny.
He's and done for.
The effects are awesome.
So good.
Yeah. And so he melts, and that's the scene that happens there. And then Matt comes in, like, we flash forward. They've tracked her down
uh-huh.
because they know where she's at. So Matt breaks into the, like, brothel area and sees Doris. Is that her name? The
mm-hmm.
alien?
Mm-hmm.
And blows her head off.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because then the headless body is, like, running around and it looks awesome.
It's pretty good.
It struggles and... attacks like a trash man.
Yeah.
And then the head grows back, and it is incredible.
It's just an alien head.
Yeah, it grows an alien head back on the, mm-hmm. the woman's body. Yeah, and then the other alien, so, and then she gets thrown into the trash compactor.
She's crushed by a garbage truck.
So then the other alien woman turns herself in because she's like, I can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to turn myself in.
Well, also... in this interim, somewhere, the artist has found time to write and publish another comic strip update.
I think there's like three issues that have come out in this point.
Yeah, and it's been a day.
Yeah, and then the main alien...
Rex. Yeah.
There's going to be like a shootout with him because he's had it.
He goes back to... He's got his plutonium and realizes, oh, maybe I should leave.
Well, he goes back to the ship. And that's yes. where he shoots everybody that's on the construction site again.
Yeah, he kills all the workers, I guess, again.
He does, new workers.
And then the alien girl number two. Oh, I have her name.
Karen.
Yeah, this is
right
where we learn
too.
Her
yeah.
name.
This is such a funny scene. Because she changes her mind. He's like,
yeah.
Karen, if you come to me... You know, then you can go home. And she punches out Matt, which there's a lot of punching out in
yeah.
this, too. Punches out Matt and runs towards him.
Towards then, Rex.
And then Rex pulls out a grenade, tosses it to her, and she looks at it and blows up.
Yeah.
And then he screams at Matt, put that in your comic book, and then runs off.
And then he goes and makes another comic to lure in Rex again. And then the alien shows up at Matt's work. Matt or Max, whatever his name is. So he's been lured in by yet another comic, which has been widely distributed through the city enough that he saw it.
And the alien is really pissed, too, at the way he's depicted
mad.
In this comic.
And then there's a chase scene shooting.
Keep in mind, this whole time, they still have their camouflage clothes on, too.
Like, yes.
It's supposed to be...
Days, maybe?
Several issues have come out, but yet they haven't changed their clothes.
Nope, and it's still, like, afternoon.
And so there's a chase scene with Matt and the alien, and he shoots everyone
mm-hmm.
in this scene, because he's out on the street. So it's like a New York street scene, where every single person is being shot down. It's so incredibly funny. I was laughing... really hard.
It was ridiculous.
My cheeks were hurting.
Yes.
It was really funny.
And we're not even commenting, but the music throughout all of this is like pushing it up and over the edge to like crazy chaos.
It was perfect in all ways. And so there's this fight scene and Matt takes the alien Rex and throws him on a train track. Mm-hmm. And a train comes and destroys his, like, blows up his entire body when it runs mm-hmm. over him, except for one arm. And that one severed arm, we get the coolest scene at the end of this film where the arm regenerates an entire body
mm-hmm.
from that one arm. It is so cool. At one point, there's this, like, skeleton. It's, like, very Hellraiser type, mm-hmm. but, like, a very poor man's version of Hellraiser.
Very.
But it is perfect. And he regenerates, and then he looks at Matt, and he's going to kill him, and says, "Eat death." But then gets blown up.
Yep. Oh, the girlfriend also throws a grappling hook at this point,
yeah,
too.
She's walking around with one at one point.
We are like, wait, does she have a grappling hook? And then she uses it, so it was worth it.
Yeah, and that's that.
His body explodes. Up. The artist also at this point makes note that his ankle hurts, but he's okay. Like,
yeah,
why
there
did
is
they
a
write
whole
that?
Like focus on his like twisted ankle.
Yep. And then the agent disembarks Jenny and she's a-okay. And then they write a conclusion comic.
Yeah. And he's like successful. And that is a wrap on Alien Space Avenger. And holy shit, this film was amazeballs. It was incredible. Yep.
I feel like there's no way to really do it justice in a conversation because it's chaos and nonsense with the music to match.
And I feel like sometimes we're hard on a movie and sometimes we're not. It has to find us at the right time. This came into our life at the perfect time.
It was a gift.
Because I received it with open arms and I hugged it the whole time.
It was real good.
It was amazing.
I laughed real hard. My face hurts. I'm glad I watched it.
If you want an entertaining movie to watch, this is hands down Laser Graves approved.
Way to go. If you do watch it, let us know.
Yeah, I loved it. Okay.
So good.
Well, that's this week's episode, Alien Space Avenger from 1989. I do hope you look into it. It's probably, I would not be surprised if you can stream the whole damn thing on YouTube.
Somewhere, yeah.
But maybe it'll be released, you know, through Blu-ray, like some company, Vinegar Syndrome or somebody like that. Those people who do the like really rare ones will do it if they haven't already. I haven't looked into it, but I loved every part about this. The only thing I didn't like was the cover. I felt like they could have really amped up the cover.
Yeah, it's a missed opportunity.
Because this film was perfect.
Everything else was turned up to 11 and the cover was turned to 0.5.
Maybe I'll make my own.
I know you
cover.
Will. I know that you will. Okay. This is fact.
Well, thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, please follow us. We're on iTunes and we're on Podbean and Spotify and all that at Laser Graves. You can rate and review. We'd appreciate that. And then if you want to follow us on social media, we are on Instagram at Laser Graves. We have personal sites there too if you want to follow us. I'm at Death at 33 RPM.
I'm at Mariah Rose Wimmer.
And that's where you can keep up with us and come back again. Tell your friends if you liked what you heard. Let's keep this gravy train rolling. And we'll come back next week with some more 80s goodness. So,
thank you.
Bye.